Welcome to the teachings of the Renew Community. We are a family of Jesus followers seeking to be formed into the image of Christ and to join God in the renewal of all things. We meet together weekly in large gatherings and in house churches throughout Bucks and Montgomery counties. If you'd like more information on the Renew Community, feel free to check us out at www.renewcommunity.org. It's good to be with you all this morning. Good morning. Happy fall. Was anyone else tempted to wear a flannel this morning besides me? Okay, Kylie was. Good job, Micah. All right, very glad to hear that. This morning, I want us to begin with a picture and to help us begin to think about the good, virtuous life. And as the picture comes, I just want you to sit with just two questions. What do you see and what do you feel as you see this? So go ahead, let's take a few seconds. So what do you see? Looks like I did my good deed for the day. Great, yeah. What else? What do you see? An outstretched arm. Okay, thank you. Glad I'm not in their shoes. Yeah, great. What else? Pat? What's that?
Distance.
Distance. Okay, great. See distance. Yeah, I love that. I want everyone to know that I've done this good deed today. Great. Bobby said he sees a lack of eye contact, that the eyes are on the phone. Yeah. What's that? Self-serving. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's flip this. What do you feel as you look at this picture? Disgust. Did you say disgust too? All right, great. Anything else? Who said that? Sad, yeah. One of my teenagers. What do you feel when you look at this?
Angry.
Angry, okay, great. Thank you. You've seen it before? You've seen this in real life? Yeah, okay, seen it before. And I love that people right now who are listening to this teaching on the podcast are like, what are they looking at? So you guys, this means come to church, folks. If you're hearing this, be here. Sorry, that was terrible. Yeah. Yo, okay. Kent said he felt some conviction. Anyone else? Confusion. I love that. Yeah, so Elaine said confusion. Instead of looking at the coins coming, it's like you're looking here. There just seems to be this confusion in ideas and virtues. Yeah, Johnny. And thus ends the teaching, the word of the Lord. No. For those of you that did not hear, Johnny said, it's interesting because the left hand is doing this and the right hand is doing that. And it's just this unique tension and something else very theological, which I don't know if I can repeat. So thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, so this is such a unique picture. And this morning we have a chance, we're going to be finishing the Sermon on the Mount, which is something that we started way back in February. And so I love that we get a chance to wrestle again with the text that we have sat with and hopefully are beginning to be transformed by. And I just want to remind us, the Sermon on the Mount, the way we're phrasing this, the way we're putting the framework around it is, this is what the good life looks like. Jesus doesn't just invite us into a really cool political ideology, but actually a way to live. And Jesus believes that if we live this way, then that means the kingdom of God is moving forward. So it's not just a way to live to be nice to your neighbors, to do things like that, but it actually has eternal significance. And the kingdom of God moves forward when we live in the way that Jesus invites us to live. Now, the last section, so the last two teachings we had are part of a section. And as we come to the finish line, Jesus does not lighten up at all. You know, sometimes when you get towards the end of a speech, you kind of lighten things up and it's like, hey, everyone, you're doing fine. Just keep going. Jesus turns on the heat and pours gas on the fire. And essentially, he calls his listeners to choices. And it looks like this. You'll see it behind me, but there's these two ways. He talks about the broad road and the narrow road. There's two teachers, a true teacher and a false teacher, which Aubrey taught about last time. And today we're looking at the two pleas, the words and the deeds, and the two foundations, the sand and the rock. So the Sermon on the Mount, as we said, is a picture of what the good life looks like. And Jesus is not interested in intellectual head nodding. He wants us to join him in the living of this life. And this life that we live, as I said earlier, brings about the kingdom of heaven. And the way Jesus teaches us, it is amazingly challenging because it doesn't just address our actions, but our motives. It's also holistic. It addresses how we look at ourselves, how we look at our neighbors. Even if you think back to the very first part of the Sermon on the Mount, it starts with all these blessed. You are blessed when, you are blessed when, you are blessed when. And so Jesus, in this beautiful text, is teaching us what this whole life, the good life, looks like. And my friends, it's challenging. And I love this. One of the church fathers, John Chrysostom, says this. He said, "Christ's hard and narrow way is also to be welcomed as his easy yoke and his light burden." So we need to remember that. This is a hard teaching, but very shortly after, Jesus says this, "Hey, folks, are you tired? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and I will show you how to have real rest. Work with me, walk with me, because my burden is light and my yoke is easy." So we need to hold that in tension with the hardness of this teaching and also with the fact that when we walk in this way, it changes how we do things. And Jesus is good and can bring us into that. Okay, so with that, could you, if you're able, stand with me? We are going to read from Matthew. And I just want us to think about this. These are words that we get a chance to build a life on. Okay, so here it is. If you have your Bibles, chapter 7, verses 21 through 29. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer.' Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So the question that Jesus is getting at, the choice that he's placing before us, is very simple. Are these words that to build a life on? Are these words that you are thinking about building a life on? Are you willing to submit to the teachings of Christ and to build your life around what he invites us into? And so if I'm going to boil all of this down, I really think it boils down to this: obedience. That's how Jesus spells love. O-B-E-Y. If you love me, you will obey me. And there is something that is so simple and yet challenging about how Jesus is inviting us into this. And what we see in this particular teaching that we just looked at is we see this way of understanding that you can look the part and do a lot of the stuff and say the right things and still be super far off. Because Jesus in this teaching brings into view our ability of self-deception. My friends, I can deceive myself six ways till Sunday when it comes to what it means to actually follow with the teachings and what Jesus is calling me to live out. There are times when we think we know him, but what actually Jesus is inviting his followers and his listeners into is to obey and to submit to his lordship in their life. As a young parent, and Kylie will be able to finish this if she's listening. She is. Kylie, we always said, "What, listen and That was what we did. That was a trick. That's my parenting class in a very short, listen and obey. It worked some of the times. But we try to simplify our life around that because there's something about when I can listen to what Jesus says and obey, friends, it is hard and we get it wrong. I get it wrong all the time. But Jesus, in his beauty and majesty, forgives me and calls me back. He redeems me. He reminds me of who I am. He reminds me of what is ahead of me. And he continues to be a God who loves me and pursues me. And I wrestle with this picture of seeing the folks who feel like they know what to do and they know what to say, but their hearts are just so hard. And sometimes that convicts me because I realize that there are certain things that the Lord needs to transform in my life. And when Jesus says this, in the very beginning of this passage, he makes this statement. He says, the one who does the will of my Father, he's calling the people that say that they want to follow Jesus into something very simple. It's a radical choice, really, and it's just, will you obey or not? And there's not an in-between. And I think this is one of the hardest things for us as choice-saturated Americans, because we have all of these choices. And Jesus doesn't say, hey, you get to choose certain parts of this and certain parts of that. He's saying, do you want to choose me or not? That's the question. That's what it is to live out this whole and holy life, heart, mind, body, and soul, that I'm willing to give it all to Christ and to watch him transform my life, not for the sake of my life, but for the sake of the world. For Jesus, nothing can substitute active and practical obedience. When we look at his life, we just see him obedient. I do what the Father tells me. I was talking to Kent the other day for breakfast. And if you look at Jesus in the Gospel of John, so many times he's like, I do what the Father tells me. I do what the Father shows me. I do what the Father is telling me. It's across the board. Look at the obedience of Jesus. He went to the cross for us. That's obedience. That's obedience. And it's interesting because I appreciate how Jesus uses a really good building metaphor right at the end. That captures my heart. I'm not a great builder. I've built some foundations in my life, and it is hard work. If you don't like concrete and lifting heavy things and jacking up your hands, then stay away from foundation building. But the one thing that I really appreciate is that Jesus then leads us further. He says, hey, if you want to live this life, you have two choices. Where are you going to build your foundation? Are you going to build it on me and what I'm calling you to, or are you going to build it on something else? I'll tell you right now, the rock in which I am is better. And I appreciate the way this also looks forward to the final judgment. You know, when the flood comes and the wind and the rain and the hail and everything blows, if you and me are good, you're good. You're on firm foundation. If we're not, you're on shifting sand. That's a scary place to be. I don't know if many of you remember Hurricane Ida back in 2021. Anybody? I remember driving through that road on 29, I think it's 29 or 73, through Shanksville. And I remember seeing a house that was straight up, and it was like this. And you think about the power of that water. And some of the other houses, you know, were obviously completely destroyed. But what was amazing is I saw a house that looked awesome and the foundation was bad. I mean, it's such a stark image in my brain about how important foundation work is in our life. I think about the flood. If you have known me for more than 10 minutes, I talk about a cabin a lot. It's my uncle's cabin, and we spend a lot of time up there. And it's been flooded out twice. But what's amazing is the foundation's good. I mean, it's a heck ton of work because we got to rip out drywall and rewire, and we've lost a lot of things, and it is a ton of work. But when the foundation holds, the work that has to be done in repairing is actually it's a lot easier. When the foundation's gone, you have to start from scratch. And so I was thinking about this, and I think this is really what Jesus is doing. A good friend of mine, Trevor, said this the other day. He said, I've met a lot of people who are born again but haven't learned how to live again. And I think Jesus not only saves us from the flood and the hail and the wind, but he saves us into this beautiful life, a good life. And so I feel like the best way for us to end the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount is the same way we began it. I'm not going to ask Bill to recite it right now because I didn't give him time. We're going to have people come up and read it. But I want us to listen again with this question in our mind. I hope it's up there. First question of, are these words to build a life on? Pay attention to what God may do in you as you hear these words. If you notice a part that hurts, I just invite you right then and there to say, Jesus, please forgive me. Help me to live in your way. And not in a shameful way, but in a way of invitation. So I'm going to have my readers come up, and we are going to listen to the words again.
First of all, for those of you who may be sick or serving the Lord elsewhere and therefore listening to this in podcast form, it was a picture of a guy taking a selfie of himself handing money to a homeless person. I wasn't asked to, but just a brief intro. These are the words I attempt to live my life on. If there are any written word that I've ever found ever, it's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's the words of Jesus. It's extremely convicting and challenging, and I might argue almost impossible, but what I have tried to live my life on. And here we go, Matthew 5. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny. You've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a woman so divorced commits adultery. Again, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So then, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. But when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men from their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they receive the reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light of within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I can tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grasses of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, he will not much more clothe you, O of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all the things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and may enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law.
So are these words to build a life on?
Shout out to Bill Borgard for memorizing that.
Are these words to build a life on? I submit to you that they are words to build a life on. And really, we build our life on the love of Jesus. I was talking to my uncle. He's 75 years old, and about 4 years ago, he started reading the Bible ferociously. And it's been so cool to watch his faith just begin to explode and explode and explode. And we were chatting yesterday. He was visiting a friend of his who's towards the end of his life. And he said, you know, Doug, I've been thinking about this one thing. It's like Jesus really does show us and tell us that it's all about love. If I can take the love of God and receive his love, I just want to learn how to hold that love and then hand that love out to the people. He said it was the first time. He said, his name is my Uncle Frank. He was visiting his best friend, Frank, which is really cool. He said, for the first time in my life, I looked at Frank and I said, Frank, I love you. And he said, the Lord's been really teaching me how important it is to learn how to love. And when I look at these words, when I hear these words, I'm broken. I'm broken by them. But we come to the table every single time we gather to be reminded that it's not about how well I can perform. It's about the blood of Jesus that covers over a multitude of sins. It's about his body broken that actually nourishes my soul so I can live differently. Like these words that many of us may feel conviction on, I think it's actually not so much conviction as much as it is an invitation to come to Jesus, to come to the table, to come with our sin and all the stuff that we are feeling and holding on to and let it go, because the cross is bigger than anything that you may think is bigger than whatever is. Jesus' victory on the cross is bigger than all things. So we're going to have our servers come, and they're going to serve communion. And this is what I want to invite us to this morning. And this is kind of a bold move. We don't do bold moves like this all the time, but hey, it doesn't matter. We're going to try it anyways. If you felt conviction as you were listening to this, can you just stand up? If there's a place that just really settled on you. Thank you. I'm standing, and if I was sitting, I'd be standing too. Brothers and sisters, like, I want you to know that the Lord's love is great. He's gracious. He loves you. He's with you. Sisters, his love is transformative. You can never live this thing in a way that you think you get it. Like, it just, Jesus, it has to be Jesus. What I appreciate is we're not just looking at how to follow a bunch of words. We're following the word. We're not just choosing a lifestyle. We're choosing Jesus. That's huge. I believe Jesus is big enough to accomplish everything that he wants to accomplish in your life. We have to submit our lives to him and allow his love to radically transform us. So brothers and sisters, as you come, come with joy because you know Jesus loves you. If you have to confess, let it fall before you hit this place and just enjoy the blood and the body of Jesus who loves you so deeply. As you hear the words, his body broken for you, his blood shed for you, may that bring some joy to your soul this morning. So come to the table, my friends.